Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And we are here in the studio with a live wire, Mr. Marcus Kane, the owner, director of Stickman. Marcus, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, mate.
It's really interesting. Well, I first of all love your advice, you know, get moving, get out there and get working, because I think inspiration action is one of the keys to success. But I also found it interesting, you're the antithesis to our last guest, Hussein Suleiman Al-Marzouki, who said, you know, the bedrock of a good career is get your education. And here you are making international waves with a stick man, and you didn't graduate from university.
No, I didn't. No. My experience is on ground. So, realistically, we set up Stickman, five years ago. So prior to that, my history was setting up bars and clubs and restaurants, but in advance of that, running them, promoting them and owning them. So I would be in a position where I'm I'm the entrepreneur, I'm the technician, I'm the manager, I'm the chef and so forth. So I'm wearing all the caps as it is, running my own business essentially anyway. You know, and there's certain times in peak service, even we talk food and beverage for now rather than hotels. And at the same time, you'll have a, and I don't want to put any of the chefs off out there so they don't like me, but, you know, there's certain things that you want done when it's your business, and you'll be sitting at the pass, and then suddenly you might say the wrong thing, like there's an emotional, hot pot, and then suddenly it's like, get out of my kitchen, I'm going to get control of this, and you've got to learn, and you've got to learn on your feet. You know, and I think that's what really makes you, I don't know, a little bit more passionate. And I guess at the end of the day, experience and knowledge is everything. And I'm not saying that academic knowledge isn't either. So, but it's just for me, I'm all hands on.
So, but I guess you have an accountant or something to help you with the cash flow, because you have, you know, two offices.
Absolutely. That's the first person we hire.
That should be the first person you hire.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. I mean, cash is survival. I don't think it's everything. I don't rate monetary value as a true success. But I certainly feel it's the survival of success. I think it does give you happiness to a certain point. But I'm passionately exactly where I want to be, and faithfully I'm there as well. So I'm one of the lucky guys, I guess, where I'm doing everything I would want to do, and I'm creating and recreating every day. And I find that to be quite youthful, and I surround myself with academics, people that are professional as well in other fields, that, you know, create that gamut and that curry pot of excellence.
A curry pot of excellence.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have a particular female fan here who's writing in. Her name's Annie. Does that ring a bell?
No, Annie, but I'm happy to.
Annie says that you were at the movies with her. I don't know her. No?
No. What movie?
Jab, we met. I don't know. I'm misreading what she's writing. I can't really understand exactly what she's writing. And then she's asking you to wake up. Because I guess you're not energetic. No. So you have a few fans coming in here. So you never took the plunge into being an entrepreneur. You just always were. I mean, right from the get-go. I mean, you started in the hair salon. I don't know if you were the guy sweeping the hair up or the shampoo boy. Which one you started as?
Both.
Both of them.
Both, and I did that for a year. And then, you know, you slowly work your way up.
Did you actually cut hair?
I was teaching and training cutting techniques. So I developed some products with Fudge out of Sabre Corporation out of Sydney. You know, I sort of worked with them as a technician for a little while. And I reached a point in that sort of field where it just, I lost the passion.
What about that? I just want to get your opinion quickly. Late night TV commercial, they always have the Flowbee where you attach the clippers to your vacuum cleaner. And is that fake? Is that real? Is that
Did you invent that? Shane doesn't have any hair either. Did you guys know that? This is
Yeah. I'm bald. From the Floby.
Solar panel. Anyway.
So what was the progression after the hair salon? What happened?
After that, I was working for a number of operators in Sydney. I worked for a guy by the name of Charles Bataji. He had the Cauldron nightclub, which anyone in the 80s would know, which was Club of Clubs for 21 years, high seller of Moët Chandon for, 10 years straight. So it was a, high-end...
So you're working in the leisure industry, I guess,
yes,
and
yes.
Working your way up the ranks. And then at what point do you say, okay, that's it, I'm going to start my own? Or was it like you would do events, you'd have your own event, your own evening, soiree, if you will, that people would attend?
Yeah, there was sort of marketing events as well. I mean, Charles, he also, the Cauldron had another venue called L'Hotel, which was a really strong fashionista, boutique-style hotel that was Keeley branded, and one of the, USPs for it was the restaurant and the bar in there.
Did you say it was Kiwi branded? Is that what you...
USP?
Oh, okay.
One of the key USPs.
Oh, one of the key USPs.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Kiwi?
I thought you said it was a Kiwi brand.
What, isn't that a bird?
Okay, so this boutique that has a very kind of niche brand position.
Yeah, and I sort of went through and worked for a number of venues similar to this, and then I also worked on the Bondi Strip for a couple of cafes, Speedo's, and there was another... Seduced, which is all the juice bars, and then Bondi, this whole strip.
You worked in a juice bar as well?
No way.
A theme tonight. We are going to have to go out and get fresh juice. Okay.
Cranberry.
So you just had a full gamut right across the board. But the main focus, it's like customer service that you're looking at, how to create an environment that people will enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. And then also learn. I mean, we also got a couple of gold plate awards and various other awards and in different outlets and venues. So we're also looking and testing different styles of food and cuisine and cultures as well. So I guess until I felt confident that I could actually put it into my own brand, own restaurant, and open it, I needed to gain the knowledge, and then I did. Then I had my own restaurant for 8 years, and also some of my competitors, I built different brands from them and turned them over from... I think they were turning over about 500,000 Oz at that point in time. And then there was one called Tiger Lils, which I turned over to 12 million, in turnover the first year, and did the full turnkey solution, which I'd do the brand staffing.
$12 million.
Yeah.
In one year from startup?
from startup, yeah.
But what's your cost on something like that?
Well, this one was a bit of a weird one. We've done something similar again.
So you start up, point zero, how much you do you have to invest, and then were you profitable in the first year at 12 million? I mean, depending on how much was it profitable in the first year, like that 12 million or?
Yeah, 40%.
Wow.
Mm.
That's pretty good.
Mm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and that was, yeah.
It's not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all. But, at the same time, it owns your life. I mean, anyone that's out there that actually lives and breathes and works in food and beverage industry would know that it's a different beast. And I popped out of that probably, 9 years of owning my own business and so forth. And I don't regret it, but it was a bit of a shocking reality of the lifestyle that I kind of, forgave for the love of food and beverage. Which now I'm creating multiple concepts through my experiences, and doing it for, in 9 different countries currently, 2 offices, Hong Kong and Dubai.
Those are two of like the coolest cities as well, Hong Kong.
Well,
and
two hubs.
Pretty cool.
So yeah, we've got a far reach, which is great. We're pre-qualified for more than 26 of the major hoteliers globally. And we're never going to grow bigger than our mandate is probably 25 key staff, and that's it. We don't have the Gordon Gekko concept of design. We're not cut and paste. We never will be. The day that is will be the day that I'm not there. Everything is a fresh, new, revised concept. For example, we just opened Conrad Hilton here in Dubai and did all the food and beverage there. But that's 6 years ago. So we did a concept 6 years ago. So for all the listeners out there, when you actually go in and have a look at the venues, the food and beverage outlets there, just think that they were actually designed 6 years ago and they're still bang on trend. And when I say bang on trend, it's more of a legacy. So our whole, I guess, idealism is to create experiences for people that last and don't do be one-hit wonders or prefer to be and add more to it. The added value is the food, the style, the service, the look, the design, the ambience, the lighting, you know, and all these things. And that's what you learn. And that, I guess that's what I learned throughout my years. I mean, I was a lighting technician for a year and a half in the clubs, and I was rigging, and we were, you know, one of the first places that received golden scans, which were the copies of Very Lights. And then, we were baking LEDs 6 years ago in the oven for RGBs and all this technical stuff that no one really wants to know. But, you know, it all adds the experience and you know, the general tactile behavior that you're looking for when you go out.
Was there any part in starting up this business where you really said, you know, oh my God, I can't do this, I'm not going to make it, this is too much, or you're just like, yep, my God? Yeah, so can you tell us about that? And
well, we started the business at GFC, so 2008, everything went, you
What's
know?
GFC? Oh, is that? We're not allowed to say on radio?
At the global financial crisis,
oh, okay,
you know.
Sorry.
So so we sort of... I'm glad you can say what that was. Yeah, it's an affluent DJ across from me. Anyway, so we were swimming against the current from where everyone else was going. But the beautiful thing about that was rents were coming down. You know, everyone had got off their egos and brought their salaries back down to a reality check. So we were, you know, and we managed to inherit some good clients at the same time and you know, see through some major projects that we've won awards in. And from there, we had to fight the cash flow scenario, which anyone does, and we're self-starters. You know, we've funded ourselves in the scheme of things the whole way through. So,
but you launched at a very bad time, 2009, and from what I understand, interior design really got hit hard.
It did in this region. So, you know, 60-70% of our projects were in Asia. So we were thankfully in a hub. Thankfully, in an area where rental prices came down.
So your Hong Kong office opened second or first?
Second. We only opened that October last year.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So, but even from here in Dubai, like when you say Asia, because, you know, Asia starts from Pakistan to Japan. I don't know, like where in Asia are you referring?
India, Pakistan, Japan.
You were doing interior design in Pakistan.
We've looked at a couple of projects in Pakistan, but we haven't actually converted any projects there. And currently, you know, as I said, we've got projects in 9 countries that would cross over through the Asian.
You know. No, but I mean, during the crisis, you said you got through because you had projects in Asia.
Shanghai, Beijing.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. So, We want to know what your secrets to success are, but we can't hear them just yet. This is Marcus Kane, owner-director of Stickman. We'll be hearing his secrets of success in just a minute.